Welcome back to another episode. So before we get into all that, we're gonna give a little update of what everyone's been up to. So I don't have any big life changes or anything, but Scooby has picked up a new skill. I went outside to shovel snow yesterday, and after visiting with my neighbor and petting their dogs, Scooby got jealous and started jumping at the door. But I didn't know until I'd been outside for a few hours that she had locked the deadbolt on me, and I had to have Jaden drive all the way back from base to let me back inside. So that is her new talent. And how about you, Katie? What you been up to?
Well, right now we are kind of right in the middle of Josie as a 2.5-year-old wanting to assert her own independence. That has been challenging. It's exciting in that like she is developing normally and has her own likes and dislikes and independence. But it's also very challenging to try and go anywhere or do anything.
I feel like you were searching for, like, really just the perfect word to be positive about this.
No, like, it's super, like, because the majority of the time, she's super fun and it's great. But then you go, like, then there's just, like, those moments that you're like, this is very difficult.
Oh, you also found out that your baby is going to be.
Yes, baby sister, a little over 3 months from now.
Woohoo!
So we're all pretty excited about that.
So Maddie, what is new with you?
Well, I had my baby since we last talked, and I've just been living the newborn life, and it's wonderful and also very challenging, but he's like the cutest little thing, and I love all the snuggles and everything, so that's pretty much my update.
When I got off the phone with you, and you were like, oh, I gotta go, Micah's crying, and I could hear him crying in the background. You hung up, and Josie goes, oh, Micah's sad. He misses me.
Oh, she's such a good cousin. I love how she says his name. His name is Micah Anthony, and Josie says, baby Micah?
Yeah. Never just Micah, it's baby Micah.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's just jump in with today's topic. So we decided on superstitions because I feel like talk of those kind of abound right now.
Mm-hmm.
Spooky season. Many superstitions in general, a lot of them are so old that we don't, like, we have a good idea of where some of them came from, but some of them, you know, we're not totally certain about it. But in general, most superstitions are around you know, to explain things or to help people feel like they have some sort of control over events that are typically out of our control. You know, somehow feeling like my actions or this routine is going to somehow influence what will happen to me, right?
Makes sense.
So, you know, for example, like athletes wearing a particular number or, you know, not washing their socks, which I think is super gross.
Ew.
Do any of you have any, like, lucky clothing items or anything like that? Or, like, this is my interview outfit, you know?
I haven't had a ton of interviews to where I feel like I have an interview dress. Let's see. I feel like I used to have a dress that I wore on first dates quite a bit. And I didn't notice I was doing it until, like, the third or fourth time. And then I was like, oh, interesting.
What dress was it?
It was actually one that I originally had bought for Katie for her birthday, and I tried it on because I was like, we're similar sizes, and then I liked it too much and didn't give it to you.
Was it that sundress, that pink and orange one?
No, it was gray and white, and it's kind of fitted like a high waist. And it was like a Target one. It wasn't anything super fancy, but it was like a nice like first date dress, and I definitely wore it quite a bit. And then, yeah.
How many first dates are we talking about here?
I was in college. There were quite a few.
I don't know.
But it got retired, you know, because I don't have any more first dates, so I don't need it anymore. I feel like a lot of people have, like, where they have to wear their lucky, like, Seahawks jersey when they're watching the game, things like that.
Oh, yes.
Do you guys have any? I don't think I have any clothing like that now, though, like. Nothing that I feel like, oh, this is my lucky. I feel like Rachel Green, she had her lucky dress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have.
No, I don't. Right, I don't feel like I have lucky clothing. I know that many people consider the number 13 to be an unlucky number. You know, like to the point where like buildings and stuff will skip, and even streets they'll skip number 13 and then just go from straight from 11 to I mean, sorry, 12 to 14.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I looked up the reason for that, and apparently it's a Norse myth about the 12 gods that were having dinner in Valhalla, and then the trickster god Loki was the 13th guest, and he wasn't invited.
There's multiple reasonings on that one. So also the thought is that, you know, there were 12 disciples, and then, you know, Judas was the 13th.
Right.
I remember Taylor Swift used to always write number 13 on her hand, like in her olden days.
Yeah.
And I think that was her lucky number, so it's kind of weird. Also, well, 13, I'm pretty sure, is like a gang number for one of them. I can't remember which one.
Oh.
Well, it's always been my lucky number, so.
Wait, it's your lucky number?
It was my sports number.
Oh.
I just kind of continued with it. I remember in, you know, like elementary school when I was playing soccer and then playing with rugby, numbers is different from other sports in that numbers correlate to what position you play.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Oftentimes I played like my position was number 13. And so it just kind of stuck that's like been my lucky number. So make my own luck with that.
Okay, so here's one that I actually like do, and I don't know if I actually believe in it, but I do it anyway. So if I jinx myself, like I say, oh, I've never gotten a speeding ticket, I say knock on wood, and I'll knock on wood, even though I'm sure some of it isn't even real wood. But that's one that I actually do, and I think it came from, if you guys have, you know, I know you guys have seen Casablanca, but you know that song they sing in the bar where they're like, who's got troubles? We got just sit around and knock on wood, and then they knock on wood in the song.
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun as a little kid, and so I started knocking on wood as like a kid, and now I still do it, and I know a lot of people do it too, but I think that's when I started it for me.
It's also kind of funny that we watched Casablanca as much as we did when we were kids.
I was just thinking that.
Like, it definitely
is a
movie.
There's a lot of like death in there, and there are some things I didn't get as a kid. Like, a guy definitely is trying to get this young bride to sleep with him so they can get out of the country. And I did not catch that as a child. And yeah, I
definitely had no idea what was going on in that movie.
Nope. There are so many parts I did not understand.
Potential origins of knocking on wood is that pagans believed that spirits lived in trees. And by knocking on the trunk of the tree, you were like asking for favors and calling on them for good luck or asking for protection.
Before we move past 13, there's the whole Friday the 13th thing. And for one of my knee surgeries, I had knee surgery on a Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, like, oh, that doesn't sound so good. And the knee surgeon said, oh, it's okay. I was born on a Friday the 13th, so it cancels out.
Ah, there you go.
I don't know if that's how that works. But sure.
Was it a successful surgery or is it one of the ones that
didn't Well, I don't know. I had like three more after it, so maybe not. But
I know one that as a little kid I did believe, and I know it's because it came from the Ichabod Crane, the Headless Horseman.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're gonna do.
Cartoon. He spills a bunch of salt on the table and then he starts throwing it over his shoulder. As a kid, I didn't really know what that meant, but I did know that you did it to keep like spooks and ghosts away and stuff. So one time I was at grandma and grandpa's house and I spilled, like, there was some salt on the table and it hadn't spilled. I just took the shaker and started like pouring it over my shoulder everywhere in the kitchen. And grandpa was like, what are you doing? Like, well, obviously I'm keeping the ghosts away, grandpa. You're welcome. But I guess the origin for that one is, so it's considered unlucky to spill salt. One, because it was always soup. It used to be very expensive and was a trade commodity. So like it was unlucky, just, you know, wasteful to begin with. But then you'd throw it over your shoulder, and specifically your left shoulder, because that it was like, I guess, said to be where the devil was, like back behind you to your left. So you're throwing it. The salt over behind you, it's getting in his eyes, keeping him away.
I thought you were talking about how you have like a little devil on your shoulder and a little angel on the other one, and for some reason the devil's on the left side.
Well, or if you're a Supernatural fan, you know that you take salt and you put a ring around yourself to keep all the ghosts away.
That's
or
exactly
you just load up a
say.
Shotgun with rock salt to shoot at them.
I was gonna say too. Yeah, I think it's like, isn't it, like, salt supposed to be like pure or something? Is that what it is?
I don't remember what their reasoning was.
Oh, as a kid, I also observed the step on a crack and break your mother's back.
Oh, we all did.
Yep. You know, but I think that's because it was also fun, and it made walking a lot more fun if you had to avoid the cracks.
Yes.
Even now, when I'm walking on a sidewalk, I like to time it so that I step like twice on the square and then skip the line. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I do that, but it's like satisfying for some reason, and I don't like it when I step on the crack. And that must be from when I was a kid.
Probably.
I took that a step further, and I wouldn't like it when the same leg crossed the line every time, like as the first leg. So sometimes I would try to like switch it. And this is when I go for like really long walks with mom when you were at Belly Maddie. And so sometimes I try to switch it, and I do like a little like hop shuffle so that the other leg could go first and step over. I don't know why it mattered which one went first, but.
The things we do. Sometimes we're not that much different than Monk, really.
Oh, no.
So, supposedly, the origin with the step on the crack, break your mama's back, came from that cracks were like a portal to like the spiritual, like underworld, right? And if you're stepping on the cracks, then you're tempting these like spirits basically to like come up and get you.
Whoa. Oh. But why is it that you'll break your mama's?
Because it rhymes. I think it's more just kind of like, hey, be extra careful that you don't step on it. I'm not entirely sure where the mama part came in.
Because we love our mamas.
Yeah, that must be.
A good reminder. One I do kind of follow is that if I make a wish, like a wishing well or like breaking a wishbone or birthday candles, if you like tell somebody, it's not as likely to come true.
Oh, right. Yep. Oh, you can't tell anybody. Yeah.
Or if you don't blow out all the candles at once in like one breath, then your wish is less likely to come true.
Right. Yeah, I definitely do that too. And I do think it's okay though. Once, like if your wish has come true, then you can be like, oh, this is what I wish for on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that's acceptable.
Once it comes true, it's okay.
Some of these are just kind of like, I don't know how much they're superstitions and how much they're just like things kids did because they got bored in the car. But like, you know, you have to hold your breath when you go through tunnels or over bridges. Or like the tunnel collapses or the bridge collapses. So
I think it became just also competitive.
When we were first talking about this topic, I was like, I don't have any of these. Like, I don't believe any superstitions. Don't do any of them. And then I was like, now that we're talking about them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did every single one of these as a kid. And some of them I still do. Whatever reason, it's not like I believe it, but it's like you still do it for some reason.
I still hold my breath when I'm going over tunnels or through bridges.
I do it through tunnels, but not over bridges, because bridges sometimes are way too long for that.
That's true.
It's probably not safe to be driving across like a really long bridge when you're driving and holding your breath.
Well, everything was going fine until it started getting blurry.
Yeah. I got really lightheaded.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever hear the one? This is Ellensburg specific, so Ellensburg, Washington. Did you guys ever hear of Mel's Hole?
I don't think so.
There was like, it's called Mel's Hole, and there was some sort of superstition that it led to like the center of the earth or something. Like it was just super deep and like different. Like, I don't know if there were jokes or theories or superstitions about that, but that's a nice Washington specific one.
Another one I just thought of is. When people say it's bad luck if a black cat crosses in front of you, and that's like something I remember talking about as a kid, but I have read that if you do own a black cat, that on Halloween you have to like make sure they're inside and know where they are, because apparently there are like bad people who do bad things to black cats on Halloween. It's just so sad.
That's super sad. Black cats are less likely to be adopted from an animal shelter because of the superstitions regarding them, which is very sad.
They're so pretty too.
Mm-hmm. That's one I definitely don't follow at all. I even wrote that down in here that black cats are adorable. That's not one that I think about.
No, not at all.
See, we tried to adopt a black cat, and then I ended up being super allergic to it. But it was adorable and very friendly.
But like in scary movies and stuff, before something bad happens, they always show like a black cat running across or something.
Right.
I guess like an orange tabby wouldn't look as spooky.
True.
Like that's Garfield running across.
Yeah. Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch though was the best part of that show, and he was the funniest black cat.
Well, and what's the name of the cat in Hocus Pocus?
Binks.
Zachary Binks.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, young McGee from NCIS and his first yes. TV debut.
Not a super common one. I don't know if it's just a me thing or if other people do this, but I don't like to read the fortune in my fortune cookie until I eat the cookie first.
And then I don't think that's just a you thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard some people say you have to finish the entire meal, but I don't like that version because I usually can't. So I think just if you're done eating, that's good enough.
Yeah, I think it's just that you have to eat the cookie. I don't know.
Okay, you have to eat the cookie first. Okay.
Yeah, you prefer that. And then you can read it.
Okay.
Did you guys do the, like, I don't know where this came from. This is one I think I got from a kid at school. But, like, if you lost an eyelash, it was, like, on your face or something, you would stick it to your finger and then.
Make a wish?
You would make a wish and then stick it to another finger. Like, put it in between your fingers and try and guess which finger it was going to come off on.
Okay, no. I didn't know that part. I just wished on my eyelashes. I didn't put them in different fingers.
You, like, blow it off your finger, and if you got it to blow off your finger the first try, your wish came true.
Same with all the little, like, dandelion things.
Yep.
Trying to blow off all those little things on dandelions was really, really hard.
I forgot about that. Yeah, if you blew all the seeds off a dandelion, you could get a wish.
We'd be, like, hyperventilating in the front yard trying to get all the things off.
Also spreading dandelion weeds around like crazy. You're just blowing all the seeds everywhere.
Dad's like, where did all these dandelions come from? Yeah. And Amy and I like blowing them all over.
Those are her wishes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, Jones is the same thing. She must be trying to wish for something because every time we go for a walk, we have to stop and pick every single dandelion she finds and blow them.
Oh. Well, yeah, those are just wishes waiting to come true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think one weird one that I started, and it started when I was really little, and when I think I mentioned this on here before, I had to go out and feed the dogs at night, and it was dark out, and I was by myself, and so I started singing Do You Believe in Magic, because I had just watched one of the Harry Potter movies, and I didn't want Voldemort to kill me.
Oh
so
my
I started
gosh.
Singing Do You Believe in Magic? And so now if I'm ever like, you know how when you're driving in the car by yourself, and you forget to check the back seat, and it's dark out, and it just feels kind of scary and creepy, like someone's mm-hmm. back there? Mm-hmm. I sing Do You Believe in Magic so that they'll think I'm a very happy person and they won't want to kill me because I have too much to live for.
Oh, we talked about this before, but I didn't know yep. that you specifically sang Do You Believe in Magic.
I didn't know that.
That's usually the go-to. I'll sing other ones too, but ever since that first time when I sang it outside feeding the dogs, that's kind of been the go-to.
I definitely always check the bathtub when I go in. Like, not specifically in my house, but I feel like I don't know if, like, I'm home alone or if I'm somewhere else, I always check the bathtub before I use the bathroom. Make sure there's nobody in there.
I get that. And I always, if it's nighttime, I have to have all the curtains shut. I really don't like the feeling that someone can see in, but I can't see them if they were outside. Oh,
that was definitely the first thing we did when we moved into this house was we bought blinds. Because I just felt like I was in the middle of, like, a snow globe and everybody could see into my house.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things that, like, scare you, so I never actually saw the Final Destination movie. I was, like, too little, I think, at the time when it came out. And I just haven't watched it since then, but I remember the previews being on TV. And I think this, like, show, like, scarred an entire generation of kids in that, like, none of us will ever drive behind log trucks now.
Nope.
Because, like, there's no way I will drive next to a log truck because I remember seeing in the preview, like, all the logs come flying off and I'm just like, nope, can't do it. That and I have to, like, triple check that the garbage disposal is off before I put my hand down there and get something out of there. Mostly just for safety reasons, but, like, also because of that.
That does happen in Supernatural episode 2. That was pretty creepy.
Oh, that's true.
I feel like Supernatural made me, like, double check a lot of things after having watched that show.
This is why I don't watch scary stuff, because it does make you change things you do, even if, like, you don't really take it super seriously, but in the back of your mind, like, you can't get those images out, and, like, it's not That's worth true. It to me. I'd watch a scary movie when I was younger. The second I would close my eyes, scary spots would, like, flash in your head, and then you're like, right. Oh, great.
What scary movies? You didn't watch scary movies.
I've maybe, like, 4-ish. And for some reason, Murder on the Orient Express, the old version, scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
I knew you were going to bring that up. That's exactly what I thought of when you said scary movies. I remember that one bothered you a lot.
It bothered me so bad, and I don't know why, but, like, it kept me up for, like, a month straight. I could not fall asleep, and it freaked me out. And I think it had something to do with, like, that they all – wait, maybe I shouldn't spoil the ending, but I don't know. It's the same reason, Amy, that Julius Caesar freaked you out. when we watched Julius Caesar.
I don't know if it was because they all stabbed him at once. I think it was because I was pretty little and it was pretty like graphic and violent. And he's like being stabbed and he's like screaming and looking them in the eyes. It's pretty dark.
And you know what's really funny though? Is that was like a rented DVD from the library that was a super low budget like Julius Caesar
was
movie.
It?
Yeah, we watched it for school.
Is that what it was? I was watching eating split pea soup while we watched that, and I haven't had it since. I don't think anyway. And I remember we watched that movie sophomore year of high school, and I remember thinking, "Wow, this is not nearly as bad as I had it built up in my mind." Like I thought this was way worse. But yeah, that was good. You know what really bothered me? I was really little, but we rented those super old mummy movies that were in black and white. Keros was the mummy. And the reason they bothered me is because we watched like four of them and you thought he died at the end of each movie and then he kept coming back. So as a kid, I thought, all right, this guy's unkillable. He's just going to keep killing people. And then I didn't sleep very well for like a month or two.
Oh, you know what else was super scary that I just couldn't watch when I was a kid is I remember for a while there, we were watching The Twilight Zone. Like, Dad would rent them from the library, and there was this one that scared me so bad because there was, like, this lady who, can't remember the whole thing, but I think she went blind or something.
Oh, she, like, bought somebody's eyes.
Yeah.
And eyes out, geez. Yeah.
I don't know. It freaked me out so bad.
Dude, do you remember the one where there was this guy that murdered his, like, rich uncle and then moved into the house, and then there was this painting?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm mixing up two episodes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the painting, it shows his like grandpa coming after him, like crawling out of the grave, and the guy goes crazy and like trips down the stair and like dies. And it turns out like the butler kept like changing the picture, like with new portraits to like make the guy go crazy. But then later, the like portrait changes again, and it's the guy that he like killed is coming after him in the picture. Yeah. And then he, like, dies in the end or whatever. Yeah, that one was creepy, too. The Twilight Zone was actually pretty creepy.
Honestly, yeah, they were super creepy. And, like, the fact that it was old, like, for some reason made it more creepy. Like, I don't know why that is, but...
They did suspense well because they didn't have good special effects. They had to really do suspense well.
True.
Now, when you were pregnant, did you have, like, really intense, vivid dreams?
I did, but luckily they weren't usually scary. Like, sometimes they'd be stressful. But usually they were just, like, really random, like, interactions and, like, scenarios that were just really weird. And I could remember them clearly the next day. Whereas, like, normally you just forget them really quickly, you know?
That's usually how it was when I was pregnant with Josie. But I just remember one in particular. And it's, like, still stuck with me as I had this, like, horrible, very realistic nightmare that, like, it was the route that I always would take to and from work, and I was driving it, and it was already kind of a fear of mine because it's kind of a dangerous stretch of road. Like, there's accidents on it fairly often. Mm-hmm. But anyways, in my dream, this bright orange sports car like crossed the center line and hit me head on.
Oh, geez.
And for a very long time, I'd be dry, like, because I'd still have to drive that road. For like, there was one other option, and if possible, I would try and take the other route for a while. But anytime I'd see an orange sports car going the other way, I was like, nope, I'm getting over in the lane. Like, it just still stuck with me, and I was like, I don't know.
It felt way too real.
It was too realistic. You know, it wasn't like a paint. It wasn't like something that happens in a movie. It was like something that could actually happen in real life. So I think that's why it stuck with me.
I had a similar one when I was a kid that Amy and I drove off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Because you went on the Golden Gate Bridge so frequently?
I don't know why that made me laugh. That's not like a happy thing. But
well, and what's weird is like, I wasn't driving at the time. Like, I was a kid and I had a dream that I was passing one of our puppies from the front of the car to the back of the car to Amy. And then when I turned back around, we were going off the side of the Golden Gate Bridge. And it was one of those ones that, like, wakes you up and startles you.
Not the puppy, too.
Oh. I know. How horrible is that?
Jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Do you, too, make a wish at 11:11 when you see that on the clock?
I used to all the time. So Jaden's one of his best friends in school. Every time a girl in their class would make a wish at 11:11, he would wish that her wish didn't come true. And then that just became his thing. He would do, and this is not Jaden, by the way. Jaden's much kinder than this. And so that just became his thing. He would wish, I would hope that no one else's wishes come true on 11/11. And that was his reasoning why no one else's wishes came true. So some people just want to watch the world burn.
That's a very high school boy thing to do.
Right. The audacity.
Yeah, the older I get, the less I wish and the more I pray on things because I'm like, I actually need something that's going to be effective.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you know how they say when you break a mirror that it's bad? Do you guys know why? Is there a history on that?
Yeah, so a lot of different cultures believed that mirrors would hold, like, pieces of your soul.
Ooh.
And specifically when I was reading that in Rome, they believed it held pieces of your soul. So, you know, if it broke, then that was bad. But then the whole seven years bad luck. Right. Have you heard people talk about how, like, your body supposedly, like, you know, like, every 7 years regenerate, like, all of your cells are new cells?
Oh, yeah.
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 And it supposedly takes 7 years. So it takes 7 years for you to basically become a new person and get rid of all that bad luck, I guess.
Oh, did people know about the whole cell thing? When that,
I don't think it was originally, like, I think that got added on to the bad luck.
Okay. I was like, how long have they known the whole cell thing?
But apparently one way to get rid of the bad juju is to take all the broken pieces and bury them outside under moonlight.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes.
Did they mention why the moonlight is important?
I'm not sure. So if you really want to just make your neighbors wonder what you're up to.
And you also have to sing Do You Believe in Magic at the same time.
Yeah.
It just,
with your black cat familiar out there with you.
Yes.
There's also the, if you open an umbrella inside, it's bad luck.
Yeah. I've definitely done that one.
So one of the thoughts on that one is, cause I mean, umbrellas, not necessarily like, you know, what we think of as an umbrella now, but like they've been around for a very long time. And one of the thoughts was if you were carrying one indoors that, and went to hold it up, that it was like offensive to the sun god.
Oh.
And then there was just like the, you know, like when modern umbrellas came around, that it was just like basically kind of like dangerous to open them indoors. But like that was the, what I read anywhere. Anyways.
I definitely remember one time, I think we were at like Kmart or Target when we were kids, and Amy and I were playing with those umbrellas that have the button that automatically open.
Those are fun. Nice.
But we were indoors and I remember we were opening them like over and over again. And And then I think one of us mentioned, or maybe Jimmy was like, you guys know that's bad luck or something. So Amy and I racked up like a whole bunch of bad luck just that one time.
Another thing, it's, you know, supposed to be bad luck to walk under a ladder. First of all, why would you walk underneath a ladder? That's stupid.
Doesn't seem like a great idea.
Yeah, that one actually makes sense. Like, you're either going to knock the person down or it's going to fall on you.
Okay, but yeah, the reason that they say it's, like, a bad, you know, the reason it's a superstition. Katie, did you also come up with that it was from ancient Egypt?
I found a couple different reasons. So go ahead with that one, and then I'll tell the other one.
So this one was saying that the space in between ladders and the wall was, like, home to good and evil spirits. And if disturbed, the spirits would be angry. So you were forbidden to walk underneath the ladders, and that's the one that I found anyway.
So specifically because the shape between the ladder and the wall makes a triangle, and that's supposed to be like the symbol for life, and so walking through it tempts fates. But then one of the other reasons was that ladders and wooden steps like that were associated with gallows, where people were hung.
Oh,
and then people walking underneath were believed to have to face their own death by hanging soon after. Both rather dark.
I found another one. It says that in Christianity, the triangle is used to represent the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and it's believed that walking under the ladder was blasphemous. Interesting.
Or just probably we shouldn't do it because you don't want a paint can dropped on your head or something.
Yep, just fun. These are ways that you can reverse the curse if you do walk under a ladder.
Oh, okay.
So I like this. I like this first one a lot. You have to cross your fingers, and you can't uncross them until you come across a dog. Because it's good luck to find a dog.
Huh,
okay. You walk backwards under the ladder and take a different route. You make a wish while you're walking under the ladder. I don't know why that would help. And this last one is also a favorite. You say the words bread and butter as you walk under the ladder.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know why that would be helpful, but oh well. I like that the website I found this is laddersukdirect.com.
Oh my gosh. So we were talking about, you know, you can't tell your birthday wish out loud, you know?
Uh-huh.
So one of the first places that was done is that ancient Greeks would bake cakes and they would top them with candles to ask the god Artemis for a favor. And then they would blow out the candles and the smoke was supposed to carry their wishes to the gods.
Oh.
So that's where that came from. And then another, okay, I know one, another childhood one. I don't know that it was so much a superstition, but there was nothing more binding than a pinky swear.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not so much like, oh, if you break it, then bad luck comes to you. It was more like, this is even more serious than a regular promise. And if you break it, then, you know, we're no longer friends kind of thing.
What about, like, does this also apply with, like, a triple doggy dare ya? Does that come
I think
in?
So.
Is there anything bad that will happen if you do not follow through with a triple doggy dare ya?
I think you're or just you... known to be, like, that you cannot be trusted kind of thing.
Cowardly. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pinky swears were kind of gross because I remember we would pinky swear and then, like, lick our thumbs and then push our thumbs together, and that made it even more binding.
Mm-hmm.
So many pre-COVID childhood memories.
Yes. At least we didn't, like, spit in our hands and shake because I feel like they do that sometimes, too.
I've definitely did that as a kid.
Nice. Or, the one where you'd, like, cross your heart, hope to die, stick a needle in your eye. That wasn't super lovely, but we'd say that a lot too.
I still, like, I mean, like you said, it's more like I say a little prayer, but I still do that when I see shooting stars. And not that I see those often, but I
was gonna say, how often do you see those? Because I feel like I've never seen one in my life.
I haven't seen them often, but I've seen them, like, twice. You know, like, there have been times when, like, I knew there was gonna be a meteor shower or something, you know, and gone out and watched.
All that opening of umbrellas indoors made me never see a shooting star.
Maybe you're just not outside enough.
Maybe. I feel like sometimes when I was a kid, I'd be outside at night and Dad would be like, do you see that? Do you see that there? And I'd be like, yeah, but I didn't actually.
Honestly, I think part of that is because of our night blindness, because there's times where Aaron will see things and I will have no idea what he's pointing at in the sky.
Oh, that makes me feel a little bit better, because I would like
that has part something to do with it.
I would never see what he was talking about. And same with, like, constellations. Like, I could always find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, but everything else, I was like, I have no idea what you're looking at right now.
Well, okay, so another, like, kind of, I guess it's like a tradition now, but, like, you know, that the groom isn't supposed to see the bride until, you know, she's the, until they're married, they're getting married, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one I find slightly offensive. Because it was from, like, you know, back when arranged marriages were very common. And
I already see where this is going.
It was supposed to be that, okay, if the groom doesn't see her, then he can't back out of it beforehand, basically.
Oh, that's horrible.
Oh my God.
That's where that came from.
Yeah, I was
good. I'm glad we all broke that one then.
I thought it was something sweet, like, oh, you want it to be a surprise the moment she's walking down the aisle and you're just overwhelmed with emotion.
No.
See, and then, one, like, thing that the I do bouquet, think. Oh, go ahead.
That originated in England in the 1800s. So, like, the tossing of the wedding bouquet and then, you know, saying that, like, whoever caught it, you know, is supposed to be the next person to get married. So it used to be that just, like, any portion of the wedding dress or just the bride in general, like, touching that was supposed to be good luck.
So was everyone just, like, touching the bride all night?
Yes. Yes. And so then it kind of evolved into, like, tossing the bouquet rather than people trying to take pieces of the bride, like, snippets of the dress afterwards.
I don't think I would love that if people were, like, cutting out pieces of my dress when I'm trying to dance.
Right.
No thanks.
You know what? One that, like, a superstition that always really, I really didn't like, even as a kid, was, like, lucky rabbit's foot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought that was kind of, like, ew. Like, poor bunnies. Mm-hmm. But that one came from Celtic lore, because rabbits live underground, they were supposed to have like direct communication with those gods, I guess.
Underground gods? Don't we not like those ones?
Seriously. I don't know. Maybe in Celtic
those were like the bad ones.
But you know how like in the 90s everyone had those fuzzy rabbit foot keychains? Were those weren't really rabbits?
The majority of them were just fake, you know.
Because when I was a kid, I really thought those were real rabbits' feet that were covered in like pink fur.
I remember a girl in my class had one, and I remember being like, "You terrible person."
What a weird thing for little kids to carry around at school, though.
You're right. That was weird.
I remember an episode of Bugs Bunny where someone's trying to turn him into a lucky rabbit's foot. So he has to find, like, all these other ways to get the guy to be lucky. you know what is fun? Like, going back to the wedding thing that I thought was actually, like, a sweet superstition. It's supposed to be that if it rains on your wedding day, it's good luck. Because a knot that is tied and then becomes wet is harder to untie. And I thought that was, like, cute because it makes you feel better about having rain on your wedding day.
Yeah, that is cute.
I hadn't heard that one. That is cute. So this one's specific to Russia, but I thought it was funny. In Russia, wearing inside out or backwards clothes supposedly makes you vulnerable to being beaten up or mugged. So you're supposed to have a friend whack you on the shoulder to show the universe that you've already been beaten up and, like, maybe a little.
Why am I not surprised that that's from Russia?
You're just want me on the shoulder, pal. But I don't know why, but it made me think about a time that I remember I showed up to work, and I don't know if it was just like a really hectic morning, if I was just extra tired. But I was just like, man, these underwear are like really uncomfortable. Like, I kind of regret wearing these. And anyways, I went to go use the bathroom like while the kids were at recess, and I looked down. Not only did I have them on inside out, I had them on backwards. And these are like full coverage, like, brief underwear.
Oh jeez.
So they were all like gathered up and like poochy in the front and then like going up my behind in the back. So apparently I should have had someone whack me in the shoulder that day.
Katie, how did you mess up putting on granny panties?
They weren't granny panties. They were just regular underwear.
Have you guys heard the one that in Denmark, if you're 25 and you're still unmarried, your friends will tie you to like a post and throw cinnamon on you?
And throw what on you?
They throw cinnamon all over you.
That's weird.
And I guess it says because like back in like, you know, 100 years ago, spice salesmen would travel around and remain bachelors because they would never settle in one place long enough to be with somebody. And I'm not sure if like throwing them with cinnamon is supposed to make them not single anymore. But apparently when you turn 30 and you're still unmarried, it gets upgraded and they mix the cinnamon. Oh, the cinnamon gets upgraded to pepper.
Oh.
And sometimes they mix it with eggs.
Dang.
To help with adhesion.
Fear of Friday the 13th is called, and then I'll give you the choices. Coulrophobia. Okay. Omphalophobia. Parascavidacatriaphobia. Or ombrophobia?
The third one, because I heard a tria, which sounds like a three, which maybe could be a 13.
I'm going to piggyback off of Maddie.
Well, you're both correct. It's parascavidacatriaphobia. Weird.
Wow. Cool.
Good guess. All right, number two. Oh, I kind of gave this away earlier, but I'll ask it anyways. So you throw salt over your left shoulder because the devil is to your left. Right is bad luck, or the good angel is on your left shoulder.
The devil is to your left. You gave that one away.
In superstitions, what are you supposed to do when passing a graveyard?
You sing, "Do you believe in magic?"
You're supposed to hold your breath, it says.
Well, that could take a long time.
That's true. 4, in it's good luck when what kind of bug lands on you?
A ladybug.
Well, let me, a bee, a ladybug, a butterfly, a cockroach.
I'm just going to say ladybug because that was what we went with.
Ladybug. I was going to say cricket wasn't included on there because crickets are considered lucky in a lot of cultures too.
Oh, yeah.
Except Mulan's cricket was not lucky.
That's true. What does it mean when you suddenly have a shiver?
You pass through a ghost.
I mean, someone walked over your grave.
Oh, well, I'm not dead, so...
In a past life or something?
I guess so. I don't know. Huh. Alrighty. Well, I'm gonna keep all those things in mind as spooky season continues.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in to She's My Sister podcast. We've got a lot of exciting episodes planned coming up.
Let us know what superstitions you have, if they're ones we've maybe forgot to mention.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah, send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. I'd like to share those. Let us know what your personal superstitions are.
I do feel like there were way more than I realized, like, just thinking off the top of my head.
I still have some more that I didn't get to, so. Yeah, there's
more. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you all have a happy Halloween and a great rest of your fall, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.